So, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse, and I want to begin in verse 16. We go through verse 16, verses 16 through 19. Ephesians chapter 3. Wish I had bought that diagram back. I did not. But I hate to mess up my nice new board. Okay. But in accordance with that diagram, as we've moved from the carnal to the spiritual, we found ourselves at last here, right in the very core of man, right here in the place of the spirit. And as we've made our way here, we talked about the body, we talked about the soul, and the scripture tells us that now once we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, and thereby receive the Spirit of Christ, that it leaves this body mute, irrelevant, because now it says now that if we have received Christ, then the body is dead. And so the life that I now live, I live now by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so I live in this body, but it is not I, it is Christ that lives in this body. So we basically made the body irrelevant, okay? And so now, even as the body is irrelevant, the soul now, as it is unregenerative, the soul still has really no power, because it has no ability to communicate with God. Therefore, when we are saved, it is the soul that is redeemed, and salvation is for the soul and not the body. For the Bible says that the body continues to perish, but the soul is renewed day by day. Okay? So now the regenerated soul now has now the ability now to communicate once again with God and to yield to the Spirit of God that the purposes, the will, the power, everything that is of God might be manifested in this life. And not only in this life, but in this vessel. You with me? And so now, what we need to find out now is how does all of this happen? How does all of this happen? Questions before we move on. We move from the carnal to the spiritual mindset. In the carnal mindset, our minds, our will was now on the things of the flesh, those things that are in the body, right? And then now as we've moved into the spiritual mindset, what happened? My mind now is on now those things that are of the spirit, those things that are of God. But beloved, therein lies the barrier. Why? Because if you ask someone, what does it mean to be spiritual, you will get all kinds of answers. Because now, it is the thing now that we cannot wrap our minds around. And so because we cannot wrap our minds around it in its simplest form, in its uncomplicated form, what we now deem now as spiritual are those things that are happening and are manifested before us that we can't understand, that we can't explain. And we say, okay, that must be spiritual. Why? Because it's something I can't understand. I can't explain it. But the reality is that in order to be spiritually minded, you're going to have to understand the things of the Spirit. Because now the Scripture says that the service that we offer to God is a reasonable service. It's a logical, rational service. It's not now built around emotions, all right? Because now, if you came on emotion, if you build a relationship on emotion, when the emotion subsides, the relationship is gone too. You with me? So this has to be something that you can possess, that you can grasp, that you can retain in your mind, in the place of your thinking. If you can do that, it belongs to you. You with me? Okay. All right. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Okay. But before we get there, and this is going to be lesson number two, and I want to introduce just the scripture, then we're going to go to Ephesians 3 and 16, and we're going to work our way back to this, but this is next week, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And what he says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, you don't have to go there. Go on to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to get back to this. He says here, in this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all discernment. He said, because now, in this way, you are able now to approve those things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled. So he says, there is live by faith, because faith is the way that I perceive those things that I can't see. I can't see it, so it has to be done by faith. And so now everything that I need in order to not only get to the place of the spiritual mindset, but now allow now for this spiritual mindset to have rule in my life and to live by the Spirit, follow after the Spirit, thereby being a joint heir with Christ, get that inheritance that he has left for me. The way that I do this, he says, God has given me everything I need. Everything. He said, but the thing that you need is in the Spirit. He said, because we keep trying to get to this place and maintain this place in our own selves. But what does the scripture say? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, but as it is written, eye has not seen. Nobody's seen how to do this. Nobody has seen how to get to this place. Okay, this is what's going to happen. Oh, I saw the Spirit go in me. And the Spirit rested in me. I saw it. I believe it. I saw it. No, eye has not seen. Now, what else? He says, ear has not heard. It's not been spoken. Not in your hearing how to accomplish this. He said, neither has it entered into the heart of man. You couldn't even imagine this. In your own thinking, it was not within the framework of your imagination. It was not. It's so high you can't understand it. So high you can't reach it. So high you can't attain it. That's why God said, now he said, I'll never make the whole earth pay for man's discrepancies again. Why? Because now man now is locked in a place in his understanding that it now does not allow him to come up, so that he can understand and perceive those things that are necessary for him to live the life that I purpose him to live. So he keeps going. Thank God. There you go, minister. Thank God for Jesus. So he goes on to say, he said, but the things which God, he says now, he said, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Eye has not seen it. Ear has not heard it. Neither now has it entered into the hearts of man. The things which God has prepared for them that love him. And this word prepared means now to give, right, to appoint, right? But now watch this, beloved, because now if you don't lock in on this, it's so subtle you might miss it. He said he's prepared these things for them that love him. There goes that word love again. See, because now everything is built around this love experience, right? You gotta see this, beloved, because everything started with love. Now, there we were on the outside in this world without God, strangers to the commonwealth, lost in darkness. But the Bible says that God loved us so much. See, this thing started with love. And it didn't just start with love by coincidence. And so now, because it started with God, with love, it has to now begin, as we begin our trek back with God, it has to begin the same way with us. It has to start with us, with love, in a loving relationship with God. It's love.
For he said, love now, you can hang everything on love. Love covers a multitude of sin. All the law and the prophets, all that you can hang on love. Jesus took every single commandment. There was over 600 of them. It was not just the 10. It was over 600 of them. And he reduced them down to two. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Right? It's love. So now he goes on to say, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. We can't see it. We can't hear it. We can't grab it. Grasp it with our own mind, but he has revealed it to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God know no man, but the Spirit of God. Now watch this. Watch what he's saying. He's saying now, what things of a man, what things know, he says, where are we at? He said, even so, for what man knoweth the things of a man? Okay? Now, who in here knows what I'm thinking right now? You don't. But I know. And see that's why I tell you, beloved, there's all the time, you don't have to tell somebody when they're wrong. They know it. You don't have to tell someone when they're bad. They know it. You don't have to tell them at all. And especially now, the one who is saved. Because the one who is saved not only is aware of their behavior, but he is aware now that the behavior is contrary to the will of God and thereby is convicted. The only thing you have to do is speak the word of God. If they save, they should be convicted by it. So now he goes on to say, he said, okay, go down. Okay. So he goes on to say, he says, so now this is the same way that the Spirit of God is. He says the Spirit of God is the same way. He said, now we have, he says, so we don't know the things of the Spirit of God. We don't know them. But now he goes on to say, but we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that we are freely given of God. The things that we need to get to the spiritual mindset, to maintain the spiritual mindset, to have the power and the authority and the purpose and the will of God operating in our lives, God has freely given us. But now he says he has given us by the Spirit. Right? But I can't see it. I can't hear it. I cannot grasp it in my mind. So how do I know that I have the Spirit? Well, it was easy on the day of Pentecost. Why? Because the Bible said the Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled everyone that was in the house. And now as a sign, they began to speak in different tongues. As a sign. This was the sign that they had been filled with the Spirit. And in this sign now, it was also symbolic of the now unifying the people of God. Why? Because if I spoke Swahili, you could hear it in your native tongue. It was a sign that they had been filled with the Spirit of God. So now, what does he tell us now? He says now with this Spirit of God, he says in John chapter 3, verse 8, he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. This word wind is pneuma. It means the Spirit. It is a component of life. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. This word listeth means to work. He said, the wind blows. It moves where it's going to operate, where it's going to work at. And now watch this. He says now, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell from whence it came. I can't see it, but I hear the sound. Why? Because in order for me to perceive it, I can only perceive it by faith. And faith cometh by hearing. You with me? And hearing by the word of God. It is that rhema word that speaks right to you. I don't know where it came from, but I heard something. And he says now, you don't know from whence it came. He said, and you don't know whither it goeth. He said, but so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit blows where it listeth, because it's necessary for the Spirit to reside in you in order for you to get things that are necessary for you to live the victorious life in Christ. You with me? So now, by faith, we perceive now the Spirit. So now I believe Because the scripture said, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 5, you're justified by faith and have peace with God through your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Also, by the same faith, you have access to his grace wherein you stand. I've been justified. I've been filled. I've been sanctified with the Spirit of the living God. I believe that. I didn't see it at the point of entry, but I believe that because I can perceive it by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. By faith. But scripture says the just shall live by faith, walk by faith, talk by faith, see by faith. Why? Because everything that I need for my survival is in the spirit realm. And the only way that I can now access it, obtain it, possess it, and take it and claim it for my own is by faith. Is by faith. By faith. All right? So now he says, now we receive the Spirit, and the Spirit now gives us everything that we need. So now in this Spirit, he says, now in the Spirit component, there is now two components here. If you have your diagram, there are two components here, because now watch what the word says. He says, now when we receive the Spirit, he says, now in Hebrews 4 and 12, it says the word of God. It's like a two-edged sword, right? He said it's quick and powerful, like a two-edged sword. It's piercing, dividing asunder, even to the soul in the spirit, okay? So here's the soul, right? Here's the spirit, right? But this soul, man, watch this. When man was created, the Bible said that God breathed the breath of life into him. That breath now was the component of life. And he became a living soul. He was not a spirit. Man is not a spirit. But man now has a spirit. Right? And this spirit now is the component of life. Now, when now man now transgressed and sinned and entered into the world, what component did man lose? Man lost the component of life that was now responsible for his communication with God and his mental disposition. He lost that. He died, but he's still living. You with me? And so now, when now he receives Christ, now he receives the word of God, it pierces, even to the dividing asunder, separates the soul and the spirit. And now that element now that was missing is given life again and is connected with the Spirit of God. Right? And so now the spirit of man is regenerated and then connected with the Spirit of God. And it's the Spirit of God now that gives life to the spirit of man and puts them back in communication with God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Can you get a mental picture of that? Do you believe that? All right. Okay, so now watch it. He said, now when we receive this spirit, now there are three things that we receive in this spirit. He says, for we have been given not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. That's what we get in that spirit. We get power, we get love, and we get a sound mind. Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning right here in verse 3, in verse 16 through 19, he says, Paul prayed. He prayed for the church at Ephesus. He said, he prayed that, my prayer is that he would grant you, that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Okay? He prayed that God would grant them to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So he says, as you have received this spirit, all right? Now, we don't now receive fear because we weren't given the spirit of fear. What spirit did we receive? Power, love, sound mind. So he prays, he said, first of all, I pray that spirit of power is manifested in you. So he says, I pray now that he would, according to his riches, strengthen you with might in your inner man. Okay, let's see what's going on here. He says to strengthen you, right? In the strengthening, what does the strengthening do? The strengthening now enables, It empowers, enables, empowers. It gives you the ability to, and the strengthening. The strengthening is not the power. The strengthening is the enabling. It is the empowering. Okay, so how was I empowered? I'm receiving the Spirit of God. See, beloved, it's not enough to receive things from God if you don't know what to do with them when you get it. See, if you don't understand it. See, I receive strength, but that strength now lies dormant because I don't know what to do with it. But he says, strengthen me, that he prayed that it would strengthen me with might by his Spirit. Okay? Strengthen me with might. All right? Enable me with might. This word might here, beloved, is dunamis. It's dunamis. It's supernatural ability. So he says, strengthen me with a power and an ability that is above anything that I've known. It's beyond me. And what did he say? He said, I'm going to give you everything you need, but it's beyond you. It's not something you've seen before, not something you've heard before, not something you could even imagine. He said, I'm going to strengthen you with a might that is superhuman, that's supernatural. He said, I'm going to overlay it over your own strength, and in doing so, I'm going to give you power. But this power can only come by the Spirit of God. And he says now, in this power, there is a place now that as I pierce through the outer man and I cut and divide it asunder, the spirit in the soul in the spirit, the bone in the marrow. He said now, and I cut out a place right there, and that's the place, bam, 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 where I put my power. My supernatural power. And it's there. And it's there. He says now, but unless you can get to the place where you can be spiritually minded, it's there. But you can't tap into it because you don't know how to access it. Why? Because if you can't think spiritually, you cannot obtain the things of the Spirit. Therefore, you cannot have the power of the Spirit. You've got to learn how to think the right way before you can live the right way. That's why we spent 3 months going from carnal to spiritual. Why? Because if you can't get to a spiritual mindset, you cannot have spiritual things. You can't. And the things that you need for the life that God has purposed for you are spiritual. All right? So he says, first of all, he says, I pray that you would be strengthened with might in the inner man. In the inner man. Well, why is that important? That's what Paul said. Paul said, I got all this stuff going on inside me. He said, I would do this, but he said, the things that I would do, I do not. The things that I would not, those are the things I find myself doing. He said, I delight in God, in the law of God, after the inward man. He said, my joy, my greatest delight is following after this new spirit, this new life that I now have in my inward man. But he says, it's really been a struggle for me because I want to follow that man on the inside. But the man on the outside keeps warring with me. He said, so the things that I would do, I do not. And the things that I would not, those are the things that I do. So I find now that there is another law competing with this law that is in my inner man. And it is the law now that is in my body that has been made irrelevant when I receive Christ. But the body still wants to be in charge, right? So now, he said, that's what God says in his word, he said, if your righteousness is no greater than the Pharisees, he said, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So in Luke 11:39, watch what he says about the Pharisees. He said, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter. So the Pharisees, they've been spending all of this time cleaning the outside of the cup. They washing the outside of the cup while the contents of the cup are all jacked up, right? But now he says, but their inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. These are the people of God. These are the people representing God. When they come out into the sunlight and everybody sees them, the cup is clean on the outside. But on the inside, is ravening and is wicked. That's why he said, if your righteousness is only that of the Pharisees, if it's no greater than that, you shall in no wise get into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because you spend all of your time worried about the outer man when redemption was for the inner man, because it's necessary for the inner man to live and to overcome by the Spirit of God, so that now he can take dominion over this body, so that I do not longer continue to be led around by this body, tossed to and fro, here and there, up and down with every single wind of doctrine. I've got to take control over myself. And so that's why God says, he says now in his word, he said, for the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man, when we receive salvation, this outward man is continuing to perish. All right? This cycle, this progression towards death and separation from the soul did not stop when the inner man was redeemed. The soul was redeemed. But this body is continuing to perish. Redemption is for the inward man. It's for the inner man. That's why it is the inner man that is powered, not the outer man. That's why it is the inner man that will eventually take control. And now as the inner man takes control, remember how we worked our way in? When the inner man takes control and is now empowered by the Spirit that resides here in the core, now he's empowered here. That power extends to here, and that power extends to here, and now you see it emanating from the outside. You see that light and that power coming outside, because it cannot be held inside, because this light was not meant to be put underneath anything. You with me? You with? Now watch this. He says now, the next thing he says, he said, I pray that you would be strengthened with might in the inner man. Okay? And then he says, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. So first of all, he says that you are rooted and grounded in love. This word rooted means to be established. Says, as now we have received the Spirit of God, he says now, we've been established in love. Right? Everything began with love. You know, this entire process of redemption began with love. Right? Because there we were, lost, in need of a Savior, and God, John 3:16, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It began with love. And so as you're able now to secure by faith the Spirit of God, he says now, as you receive the Spirit of God, he'll strengthen you with might in your inner man. And now, as now he has now taken dominion in that inner place in the Spirit, now your inner man is rooted in love. So now the word rooted means to establish, to become stable. There is stability in the love of God. Okay? It's rooted in love. It's established in love. Now watch this. Colossians 1 and 13 explains it this way. He says now, when we receive Christ as our Savior, it says now God delivers us out of the power of darkness and translates us into the kingdom of his dear Son. All right? You're on the outside, but now he picks you up by the Spirit. Translates, which means to change position. He changes your position from the outside to the inside, right? And now he establishes you in love in the kingdom of his dear Son. Somebody say dear. Dear. This word love, beloved, is agape. It is not the human love. It is an unconditional love. It is the love now that is produced of the Spirit of God. So now I'm rooted in this love. All right? This relationship with God begins with love as he translates me into the kingdom of his dear Son. This word dear here, beloved, what's this word? Somebody tell me what this word is. This word dear is agape. He said, I translate you into the kingdom of the Son, which is produced of my love. You with me? He said, I translate you into the kingdom of the Son of love. He is my love that was sent towards you. And so now that's why we were able to see him. And as we saw him, we beheld him in his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Why? Because he's the Son of love. All right. It is the love now that is expressed in every single thing that he does. That's why he's not judging. He's loving. That's why he's not condemning. He's loving. That's why he's no respecter of person. He's loving. That's why he can accept you any way you come to him, because he's loving. And it's an unconditional love. He's the Son of agape. He was born in agape. His purpose now is to now exercise and execute and facilitate and administer agape love. So now, the next is to be grounded in it. To be grounded, to lay the foundation as something that's put down. Now, watch how this thing went. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, he says now, before that, he said, we're justified by faith and we have peace with God. But back into a place of right relationship with God. And then now he says, and in this place we have access to his grace wherein we stand. Right? And as we stand in that grace, he says now that the trials and the tribulation, they still come, but we're standing. He said the circumstances of life, they still happen, but we're standing. And he said, and now as we stand, being established and rooted and grounded in love, he says now we get to the point to where our relationship with God is so strong that we begin to rejoice in our trials, rejoice in our tribulation. Because now we have this relationship with God. So I'm looking forward to this. Because I know that when the trial comes, my God is going to show up and show himself strong in my behalf. Why? Because he loves me. So I rejoice. I rejoice in my trials and my tribulations. Why? And he says now, because they're building me an experience. And the experience will build in me a patience. And the patience will build in me a hope. And watch here in verse 5. He said, and the hope will not make me ashamed, because, somebody say it, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. Right? Now watch this love thing now. Because in the shedding abroad, it is like a painter's brush. Right? So that it is shed abroad so that I'm not missing any space. And it's shed abroad to the point of where it overflows. Right? And so when it begins to overflow, now this love, this agape, is flowing into every area of my life. And so the agape love flows into my marriage, flows into my relationship. It flows into this thing that I call my Christian experience. Everything now is fueled by love. See, because, beloved, now watch what's happened here. By faith, we were able to secure and to apprehend and to possess those things. But it is by love that we are inspired. You with me? Love inspires us. And so now, watch this. So now, here's the difference between this dispensation and this new covenant and the old covenant. In the old covenant, God now gave people tables of stone. And he engraved in them commandments. But they were not inspired. Because now, there had to be a performance. But in this performance, not only now did it not bring them closer to God, but it actually drove them further away from God. Why? Because they knew, just like we began here, what did we say? So who knows the spirit of the man but the man? I know already, I can't do this. I can't do this. So now what happens? Because I know I can't do it, now what's the tendency? Cover up. Cover up. That's what religion is. See, the religious person looks at this thing and says, I know I can't do this. I can't do this. But you were never meant to do it on your own. But in religion, what do? We begin to cover it up. I can't do this. I can't, God. I can't. I can't. I can't live up to your standard for my life. I can't. I can't obey your word. I can't. I can't do the things you want me to do. I can't. God gave them laws, and it was impossible to do it. They were not inspired by that. Right? Even when God tried to talk to them, what did they say? We can't hear the voice of God and live. So we now know that it's possible. God talks to man, and man lives. He said, Moses, why should we die? You go talk to him, because we can't hear him. If I can't hear him, I can't understand him. If I can't understand him, I can't do the things he wants me to do. If I can't do the things he wants me to do, what do I do? I still want to be a part of this, so I'll just be religious. I'll cover it up. I'll be like the Pharisees. I'll make sure the cup is clean on the outside. But he says, by love, you're able now to get this thing right on the inside. And see, now watch this. So in Romans 15 and 30, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit. The Spirit not only inspires, but this love of the Spirit, it is the love that is produced by the Spirit. So it's the Spirit of love that produces love in us. You starting to follow me now? Watch this. The Spirit that he gave us. It's the Spirit of power that produces power in us. It's the Spirit of love that produces love in us. See, because now the more you can submit to this Spirit right here, the more you can submit to it, now this Spirit now has joined now with your spirit, and it has taken dominion over your spirit. That's why the scripture says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, for as many as will surrender to the Spirit, right? They are the sons and are heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Everything, every promise, every purpose, every will, every action that God ever let come out of his mouth for his people is yours. You with me? Okay. So now he says, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the sake of the love, the Spirit of love, that has produced love in you. That's your motivation. Everything should be done in love. Yeah. If God loved us, we ought also to love him. Huh? God loved us unconditionally. We ought also to love our brother unconditionally. So he says now, with this, there should be a greater comprehension. Now watch this. As he goes on, he said that you now rooted and grounded in love. Now watch the next thing. He said, rooted and grounded in love. He said, now Christ dwells in you, in your heart, in the place of your thinking, by faith. And now, as you are rooted and grounded in love, he says now, you should come into a place of comprehension, that you might be able to comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and that you might know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Okay? Passes knowledge. So what did we do? We now have subordinated knowledge. Okay? We subordinated knowledge. You with me? Let me give you an example. In your relationship with your spouse, okay? Now, when you started dating, there were some things that I knew about. Huh? Okay, I know she kind of cute. She look all right. I know she come from a pretty decent family. Know that. I know she don't eat much. Know that. But I know the things she wants me to know. As we begin to get closer, I know some other things. Don't you say nothing. Don't you tell what you know. I know some other things. Okay? But now, watch this. There's knowledge over here. But as we grow in our relationship, there's a love developing. And so some of the things I know over here that irritated me. But as I grow to love, don't bother me no more. Why? Because the love is greater than this. Right? Yeah. When me and my wife first got married, we ate out every night. Every night. right? Because there wasn't no cooking going on. Right? But that was all right because I loved me some her. But now, as you grow together, now you don't stay married 40, 50 years without a love. And there has to be a love that is worked on every single day. It has to be a love that has grown to the point to where there is no challenge over here that is too big because the love is greater. That's why God said, if I can prove to them and make them believe that I love them so much, there won't be anything to stop them. If I can convince them that I love them so much that no weapon formed against them shall be able to prosper, that I love them so much that I'll bless those that bless them and curse them that curse them, if I can make them believe that I love them so much, maybe they'll love me back the same way. And if they'll love me back the same way, there's no stopping them. But he says, if they keep lending themselves to the knowledge, there'll always be a challenge ahead of them that might just be insurmountable. Pretty soon, they're going to fall back. Why? Because they're trying to perform based on the knowledge. And all I want them to do is love me. That's all I want them to do. Because if they love me enough, they will do the things I want them to do without me standing over them with two tables of stone going, okay, thou shalt not covet. I love God. And so if I love God the way God loves me, then I want to please God. And so now I'm going to, even if I fall, even if I fail, I'm going to at least make an effort. That's why the scripture says, study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what does that mean? This word study, beloved, it does not mean acquiring knowledge. It means now taking that which you already have and diligently working it out every single day. A workman who need not be ashamed if he falls short along the way because he's diligently working it out every day, doing his best to stay on the right side of the word of God. That's what that means. Don't mean get up every day and open up your Bible and get some knowledge. No. Amen. It means grow in your relationship. Yes. Because if I love him, I don't need to know the whole Bible. If I love him, all I need to know is that what did Christ say? Christ said, you can sum these all up in two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The second is like unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself. That's all you need to know. That's it. That's it. So now watch this. He says, you can comprehend. The word comprehend means to possess, to apprehend, to attain, to come upon, to find, to obtain, to perceive, to overtake. Can overtake these things. And now watch. What was the last element of this spirit that we received? We received power. We received love. What was the last thing? Sound mind. Watch this one. Sound mind, he says, this word sound mind means a discipline, a self-control. A discipline, a self-control. Now watch. He's effectively giving you everything that you need to take dominion over yourself. You with me? So why is that important? That's important, beloved, because if this thing is going to happen the way he intended it to happen, there has to be a point where you take dominion over yourself. Now, because it began right there. It began right there. Right there. Where now you humbled yourself and submitted yourself to the Spirit of God. Okay? And now the Spirit of God strengthened you with power. Right? Has rooted and grounded you in love. And now that same Spirit will give you a discipline and a self-control in the way that you live your life. Okay, so how does it happen? The Spirit takes dominion here. That extends out here. That's the soul man, right? But now the soul man looks like the same soul man, but he's no longer in a natural state, right? Because he's been regenerated. Right? So this is a regenerated soul, right? So now the regenerated soul does what? The regenerated soul now is submissive to the spirit that dwells on the inside, right? So now, the body didn't go away, but the scripture says when you receive the spirit of the Son of Love, the body died, right? Yet I live, but it's the Son of Love that lives in me, right? And this life that I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died for me, who loved me and gave himself for me. So now, as this power now is established inside the spirit, it now established dominance over the soul, the regenerated soul, that now takes authority over the body, right? The law of the flesh and the law of sin is still working in the body, but I've been empowered from here. And now I submit to the dominion of the spirit, which gives me now the power that I need to take dominion over the body. You with me? So now watch this. So he says in Psalms 51:6, he says now, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So that's why the scripture says God desires truth in the inward part. This word truth means stability. It means certainty. It means assuredness. It means faithfulness. It means establishment. It means verity. So now, watch this. He says, if I've been established, if I've been rooted and grounded in love in this place, I've been empowered by the Spirit with dunamis supernatural ability in this place. He says now, I've got truth in this place. And that's where the truth needs to be. See, because as long as the truth is out here, then every time I'm faced with now a trial or a tribulation, I stop and I make a decision. Am I going to believe God or am I not? Am I going to believe him this time or am I not going to believe him? Is the word of God true now or is it not true? There could be a situation, a circumstance, a trial, a tribulation, a problem that looms so large in my life that I cannot believe that God is bigger than that. I believe, but there's a sense of doubt because now I got to make up and do I believe, do I not believe? But the scripture says if you would just simply yield to the Spirit and be settled in it, if truth now can abide in this inward man, and I be established in that, I'm not making decisions anymore. I'm settled in that. I'm not making decisions as to whether or not God can deliver me. I'm settled in that. I'm not making decisions as to whether or not I'm going to live my life following after the moral example that Christ has lived before me. I'm settled in that. There is no other God. I'm settled in that. There's only one true and living God. I'm settled in that. God didn't give me a spirit of fear. He gave me power, love, and of a sound mind. I'm settled in that. I ain't got to keep getting saved every Sunday. I'm settled in that. I ain't got to get baptized 10 times. I'm settled in that. I ain't going to lose my religion because somebody stepped on my foot at Walmart. I'm settled. What'd you say, minister? So now watch this, and then we'll end with this scripture. Colossians 2:6-10. He says, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Don't let anybody come to you and present to you some kind of theory, some philosophy, some knowledge. Because what does the scripture say? You've been rooted and grounded in the love of God. And it is this love of Christ that is greater than, that passes knowledge. Knowledge now cannot overtake this. Why? This is greater than knowledge. My love, the love of God, the love of Christ that dwells on the inside of me supersedes knowledge. That's why the Bible said, that's why the enemy didn't see it coming, because they spent so much time counting themselves wise, they became fools, because they did not understand that Jesus was operating in love. Even Herod said, don't you know that I can take your life? No, you can't. No, you can't. Huh? Why are you over there talking with those sinners? Because I'm the son of love. Why don't you do what we want to? I'm the son of love. I'm being motivated by love. I'm rooted and grounded in that. I have a clear objective. I do what the Father tells me to do. Go where he tells me to go. Say what he tells me to say. Huh? And when I'm tempted, what do? I rest on his word. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. He goes on to say, beloved, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You with me? You have everything you need. You have everything you need.